This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of an 8-10 record. I'm sick and tired of losing to Purdue. I ain't here to run this week. Now you may be, but I'm not. Because if we don't go up there and play next Monday night, you ain't gonna believe the next 4 days. Now you better get your head out of your ass.
Well, that was Ken Carman yesterday, and that's why today Ken has no voice.
I was losing it yesterday, but that put me over the top. It was a dumb thing to do.
We were excited because who better to let Ken and everybody in Northeast Ohio know whether or not he approves of that Bobby Knight impression and whether it measures up than our next guest, Dan Dockich, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, coached many years under Bobby Knight. Dan, welcome to the show. What do you think?
Hey, I thought it was good. With the bleach, you can't do it without, you know, the F-bombs and the... No, I thought it was really good. I saw yesterday's, and, you know, without the F-bombs, I don't know. But you throw in the bleach, I ain't mad at you. And I ain't scared of you like we were with him, because his eyebrows would grow when he was yelling like that. Randy Whitman was All-American when I played, and he said, hey, Dan, just stare at him when he goes nuts, and you'll see his eyebrows will start to grow, and they do. I remember that speech. A manager who's the guy who's now the president or GM of the LA Clippers, Lawrence Frank, is alleged to have been the one that snuck a videotape did that. Which that's what Todd Leary, one of the players there, and said. But I remember that exact day. And I don't know if we went up and beat Purdue, but I bet we tried real hard.
Well, I bet you did, because if you didn't, you wouldn't have believed the next 4 bleeping days, Dan. So, I mean, you had to have beaten Purdue that night.
Well, Dan, obviously, you've so many memorable stories, and you probably know so many more that maybe you'd like to tell or couldn't tell, or out of respect to Bobby Knight and his family, probably are going to stay quiet on. But I do wonder at times, because you're still really dialed in to the coaching circuit, and obviously things have changed, things have evolved. But when you reference Bobby Knight and those explosions and the way he coached it, do you tell young coaches today, well, that was a different time? Or do you tell the young coaches today, you need to be a little more like Bobby Knight?
Yeah, it's interesting. A little of both. coaches know. Like, I don't know why, I get a lot of younger coaches calling me, a lot of people. Back in the day, every coach that you could name called me when they had a problem, because I was like that dude on Pulp Fiction, you know, Mr. Wolf, the fixer, because I had dealt with so much as an assistant with coach. But you got to be yourself as a coach. You can't try to be somebody else. But I'll say this. I also talked to a lot of coaches about, you know, there's nothing wrong with coaching your guys. Like, you know, you can't do what Coach Knight did. Fellas, this is no lie. We lost to Ron Harper when I was a junior. We were like number five in the country. Ron Harper came in, dropped 36 against us. The game was at one. It was over at three. He told us to be back at five. We're playing full court one-on-one till someone pukes. That's the practice. That's over. Guy Alford looks at me as a freshman. He goes, man, you got to puke. You're the captain. I go, yeah, I can't. What do you have to tell you? You know. And then we came back. That was at 6:30. We were done. We came back at 8 and practiced till 9:30. We came back at 11, practiced till 12:30 in the morning. We came back at, I think it was 6, because I slept in. We used to get our ankles taped, and I slept in my ankle wrap. I told the trainer, Tim Garl, I said, man, just tape me up. I'm going to go home, go sleep, come back so I can sleep 10 more minutes. But you can't do that now, right? I mean, imagine that, right? Mm-hmm. You practice at 3, you practice at 5, seven, you know. But you got to be yourself. And, you know, if you look at coaches that are really successful, they're not afraid to coach their guys. Pearl's not afraid. Hurley's not afraid. Rick Barnes is not afraid. Oates isn't afraid. So, you got, but you can't do what Coach Knight did. You can't do what I did at Bowling Green. You'd be arrested.
Dan Doggett's joining us on the show. Outkick. He is the host of Don't At Me, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Outkick. And if anybody's ever seen basketball, they know exactly who Dan Doggett is. By the way, do you think Dan Hurley's good for college basketball?
I think Dan Hurley's great for college basketball. Yeah. I think college basketball, you know, you don't want everybody to be the same, right? I mean, hell, it's boring. You know, you go to church, priest's always the same. You go to other church, priest's always, nah, we need some color. We need some, you know, we need different personalities. What, 350 million people in this country. Everybody's different. Let's go. Yeah. Now, you know, personally, I got no problem with the way he acts. But one of the good things about Hurley is that people talk about him, good or bad. And, you know, college basketball, you guys, I was listening to your ads coming in, and it, you know, it's about the Browns. The NFL dominates. In Indy, it used to be, I got to talk about Indiana basketball or the Pacers. I do an afternoon show. We do studies. You know, you got to talk about the Colts every day, and you know that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the more you get guys in there that are really successful, that are colorful people, that are good people, and Danny's a really good dude, I think they're great for college basketball.
Well, that's it, because – you know, I've taken a very cynical approach to certain things, Dan. Don't hate me for it, but, you know, last week I'm in Florida and I'm reading about the expansion of the tournament, the possible expansion of the tournament, and I go, you know what? I hope they never expand the tournament, but I hope they keep talking about it because it's the only thing that the general population seems to be passionate about anymore during the regular season of college basketball.
Right. And that's not great.
No.
Right. I guess that was my point. I don't think I made my point. No, you're exactly right. It's become a one-month sport. It, you know, in Indiana even, I didn't make my point. My point is in Indiana even in Indiana where you got Purdue going to the championship, Indiana's a state. I'm looking out my house right now. I see a bunch of IU flags. No, the Colts and the NFL is dominated, and college basketball needs something. You know, Cal Perry has a great thing. He's like, you know, we should play in August. And now that they don't have baseball after this year and ESPN, I texted him the other day. We were texting about, man, you should do it in July, get big tournaments going. Every other sport in college basketball, football has spring football, volleyball has, spring volleyball, baseball and softball have fall baseball and softball. College basketball should do that. But no, you're right. You know, it is the only thing people pay attention to, and that ain't great, at least for that sport, particularly since now you got to start paying a lot of money to a lot of kids. So, no, it's not a great thing.
We're talking to Dan Doggett. In terms of the money being paid to kids, and again, the system's about to get shuffled around again thanks to the lawsuits, and finally now they're going to try again to do NIL, but then also do a rev share, and it's a little confusing to try to explain to people, but what do you think the results will be? Because it's really mostly about football, but obviously the top basketball players can make a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, my wife coached softball at Bowling Green, and she told me, she goes, you know, yeah, quarterbacks can make a lot of money, basketball star, but she said, watch out for the attractive gymnast. She said this before anybody, or volleyball player, and we've seen some of that. Here's the deal. I feel like a scholarship when I played was enough. I grew up in Gary, Indiana. It's like Cleveland. Steel Town. My brother used to have to go in the morning at 4 or 5 in the morning and go work in the steel mill to pay for his college. I didn't have to. We had bunk beds, and every time he would get down to go work at 4 in the morning, and I didn't have to, I'd say, man, you should have practiced more, and he would punch me. And I'm like, oh, that hurt. Anyway, the bigger problem in college basketball is the open free agency. You know, you're a booster. You know, somebody comes to you and says, hey, man, you know, we're going to get together $1 million for Ballo at Indiana, the big center. $1 million. Okay. Well, you get that together. You get Mark Cuban, you get these guys involved. Well, the next year, that kid can leave and go to Cleveland State, or he can go to Ohio State, or he can go to Purdue, or he can go anywhere in the country. And that's not good. Think about that from a booster standpoint, from a money standpoint. You know, dudes that are rich because they don't make bad investments, right? And you're paying a kid for 1 year, and he can go somewhere for $1.1 million the next year, or, you know, $300,000 this year, $350,000 the next year. And that's what's really, really bad. So they need to get contracts going. They need to be a couple-year deals. Just like, you know, everybody compares it to coaches. Well, coaches can leave. Yes, they can, but there's a buyout. So put a buyout in there if we're going to compare it to coaches. The money is insane. I'm sure you guys saw this. That dude, Carson Beck, got his Lamborghini and his Range Rover stolen, like, in Miami, the quarterback. And his little girlfriend there, the basketball player, she got some luxury car stolen. I'm thinking, damn, that's pretty good money they're making. So I don't mind the money. I don't care less. It's not my money. But you cannot – how are you going to go back to a booster year after year and say, hey, man, we need more money, and these guys are one-year rentals, and boosters know that. That's the biggest problem that college basketball is facing, and if they don't get contracts involved, it ain't going to get fixed, and it's going to get bad for the sport and bad for the schools.
Well, I know, and I got to ask you about the Cavs coming up here in a minute, Dan, but, I mean, there's so much I agree with you on. Like, you know, I see guys, people get critical of Mike Gundy, and anytime you say anything, anytime anybody says anything that it has anything about – stopping what's going on right now, then all of a sudden you have your head up your ass. You're not willing to see what the future is. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, Mike Gundy's like, hey, we've had our time to talk to the agents. We're done talking to agents. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's an absolutely fair thing to do. And now we're getting out of spring football because apparently there's teams that are window shopping players that show up later in spring football games and they're going to take them away from them. I mean, it started to become a little bit of an ugly scenario. And it's like, hey, if you're going to make $500,000 playing for Ohio State, that's cool. But if you're there in the winter and you're there in the spring, you should still be there in the fall. Like, I don't believe in just willy-nilly going all over the place. Like, at some point, an agreement has to be an agreement.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, here's what I've said about this. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Anytime you say anything against the 18 to 23-year-old making a bunch of money, then what you said, your head's up your ass, you're racist, whatever. People will say, my thing is, I don't give a damn about 18 to 23-year-olds. I tell my own kids, I don't give a damn about your opinion of my own kids when they're 18 to 23. You got to protect the sport. At some point, to your point, is that good for the sport not to have an enthusiastic 90,000 people at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska? Is that good for the sport? Is that good for the school? You know, we have the best institutions in the world. We have these billion-dollar institutions. We have these billion-dollar athletic programs, and every single one of them is catering to an 18 to 23-year-old, which, great, make all your money. But once it becomes bad for the sport, and I think personally, again, call me old, whatever you'd like, but I think personally, when you start doing things like, we're going to cancel spring football, and I'll tell you this, Matt Rhule is right. He's 100% right. Guys are going to sit there, see a backup linebacker, get involved, find out who his agent is. Okay, he's making $50,000, but we're going to give him $100,000, $150,000 to come here, and he'll be a starter. Mm-hmm. I would do that. Are you crazy? I'd be at Bowling Green if I had money. I'd be scouting the third string for whatever. At Ohio State, at Michigan, whatever. So once you start affecting the fan and you start affecting the sport, which affects the school, like, that ain't good. And I don't know the answer, and I'm sure I'm wrong, and everybody's going to say, well, you know, kids are making great. But, damn, you tell me, for 100 years or whatever it is, they've had a spring game, 90,000 fans are crazy. They buy the merch. They enjoy. They get ready for this. And now you're taking that away. because an 18 to 23 year old is going to get more money, go somewhere else, and short your roster. That sucks for the sport. And if I were the czar, I'm not sure what I would do, because the NCAA always gets, you know, sued and loses. But I'd be very concerned about that and do everything in my power. Pay kids what? Great. But I'm protecting the sport and I'm protecting the schools first, because there's always a new crop of 18 to 23 year olds. There's not new schools and there's not a different sport.
Dan Dockich with us on the hotline. Let's get to the NBA. I know you watch, and the Cavaliers, 52-10. We had one national radio host, Pete Rosenberg out of New York, say they're not sexy. What is not sexy about the best offense in NBA history in 52-10?
Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, that, you know, you watch the Cavaliers and you go, all right, what do you need? You need a star. Okay, Donovan Mitchell. You need a quickness. Okay, Darius Garland. Shoot, he used to come to my basketball camp. I probably told you guys that. When he was a little kid, his dad, Winston, grew up in Gary. You know, he brought his kids to my camp. And you could tell when he was like 2 years old, he was really good. Okay, Mobley's one of the most improved players. He dunks there. That's just dumb. What I've always said, ever since I was at Bowling Green, I said, you know, I'm tired of hearing people criticize Cleveland. Yeah, I'm tired of it. I like Cleveland. Shoot, I love going to Cleveland. I had a blast in Cleveland every time I went, whether it was to a Browns game. But that's just a guy in New York downplaying the city of Cleveland. But if you watch Cleveland Cavaliers, they're fast, they're tough, they're really well coached. What do you want out of them? You want a guy to go get 50 when he's going to need to get 50? I've seen Donovan Mitchell do that in the playoffs. I've seen Donovan Mitchell carry himself as one of the class dudes in all of sports. So that's just a New York guy being a New York guy trying to downplay a city that in his mind isn't worthy of New York and all the happy horse bleep that comes with jackasses from New York. So Cleveland Browns, every NBA guy I talk to, and I just talked to Tim Legler yesterday, says, man, hold on a second. You know, Pacers are good, but they ain't Cleveland, and they ain't Boston. And you know, that's enough for me. Guys that really know how good Cleveland Cavaliers are.
All right, Dan, last one, and we'll get you out of here on this. LeBron, it's insane what he's doing. They're the two seed, and the numbers are just insane. But there's been a weird conversation behind this about face of the league, about whether or not the media is too tough on the players. What do you make of all that conversation?
Man, I make shut the living hell up and go get 30 every night, LeBron or anybody. You're making more money than you can ever spend, and someone's critical of you. All right, so what? You should be happy they're talking about you. I mean, I'm just saying, and LeBron has been rejuvenated, and I've always been a big LeBron James fan. When I came over there when he was in high school to recruit Drew Joyce and Romeo Travis, I talked to people at that school, and everybody loved LeBron. So I've always been a LeBron fan, and I love that he's rejuvenated with Doncic. But all this talk, not from him, but from everybody, about face of the league. Look, here's the deal. You don't all of a sudden anoint yourself. Like, Anthony Edwards could be the face of the league. You know, he's a good-looking dude. He's got a fun game to watch. But he hasn't done nothing, and he keeps getting thrown out like an idiot. You got to win in the playoffs. You got to have postseason moments. You got to win championships. And then that takes care of itself. This stuff, to me, it's almost like Adam Silver said, man, ratings suck. So we got to get some conversation going. Let's talk about face of the league so people are talking about our stars. No, that evolves. Steph Curry didn't come out of Davidson, and anybody ever thought he was going to be the face of anything. But here he is, championships later. People, he changed the game by how people play. So I think it's all nonsense. And if I was Dallas, I'm not sure I'd be too happy with my general manager. But it's fun to see LeBron and Doncic play, and that helps the league. So I think people should just shut the living hell up, face it, a league will evolve, and you go from there. I'm not smart enough to get the whole conversation. If you win, great thing. It's like Mike Trout. Everybody tells me Mike Trout's greatest baseball player, blah, 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 blah. I've been following baseball since the Cubs in 69, and I know this. You got to have postseason moments. You do. You just do. And in the NBA, you win championships, be the guy that wins championships in the face of the league, and all that nonsense comes. That's the way I look at it.
Dan, we hope nobody ever tells you to shut the hell up. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, fellas. Bye-bye.
All right, Dan Dockich on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
I'm glad Joel's back, but I can foresee myself on a Monday after a loss coming up in October yelling until my eyeballs start to hurt and then me losing my voice for the rest of the week. And if we keep this up, I'm going to end up doing the same for DeJuan Jones. I get along with offensive linemen. I'm an offensive lineman guy. That's how it goes. And the ones that I care about, that I become friendly with over time, when things don't work out, I think of them when I get really mad. And they got more money than God, and I care about the fans. Certainly, I care about the fans more than I care about the team. But there are certain players that, yeah, you become friendly with, and you hope that things get changed because you know that they care. But there's also 52 other guys, and things change. Rodney. I didn't want Rodney to have to deal with that last season. That was a terrible way to, as far as winning and losing, it's a terrible way to finish a career. For him personally, though, that's a...
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The hell of a story. So I don't want to have to yell over Joel next year. So I hope that whatever move that they make, like that, we mentioned the secret word, Joe Flacco, earlier in the show. There were some people who got in with it. It's like, guys, this is where we're at. We're at the bringing back Joe on vibes. Gardner Minshew. It's where we're at, guys. Sorry. We are not shopping for Maseratis anymore. This is a buy here, pay here lot now. And we got to get this figured out as time goes on. And you can get some quality to buy here, pay here lot. You better just take your father-in-law with you because he's the one who knows how to fix these things and he knows whether or not you're buying a lemon. That's where we're at with these free agents now because of the situation that we're in with the quarterback. 216-474-0092. Real quick, can I say this? Nico Harrison, terminating on the radio yesterday, compared him to Art Modell.
I did
down
see that.
In Dallas.
Yeah, I did see that.
I was like, well, I can't compare him to Art Modell right now because that's crazy. But
if the team moves because of this.
Nico Harrison has just started, so maybe we'll see where it goes. He's don't count him out for the future. Nico Harrison.
They ripped away a top three player.
Who looks like he's going to take his team to the finals with LeBron.
Who might go to the finals again this year.
Yep.
Who was just in the finals last year.
The more we talk about it.
And they ripped him away.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm like, oh my God, we're going to end up playing the Lakers in the finals. They asked me about it on the news yesterday. I went nuts. Nuts. I got to get to something here, though. So Dokić was just on with us. Dokić is a great basketball mind. Great personality. We love Dan Dokić. And I had asked him about the tournament because I said, damn, Dan, like, I'm very cynical about this. I want to keep the conversation. I don't want to expand the NCAA tournament. And the reason I don't think it needs expanded. I think it's special, but I understand the reason why they do it because it's the only thing that people are interested in. And I don't want to expand it, but I don't want to stop talking about it because it's the only thing that people get passionate about regular season college basketball. What did you say during the break? What did you say?
I was like, get
your mic on and tell them exactly what you said.
I was like, hey, Dokić agreed. I'd say college basketball is a 4-week sport, but he said it's just a 5-week sport now, or it's a 1-month sport. And I'm like, that is terrible. Should we get Mitch to get a clip from that? Should we make this a topic and get people talking about it? And Owen, you said?
I do not care about college basketball. I don't care to talk about it. I don't care that it's happening right now. I know that March Madness is right around the corner because it's March 6th, and yet I don't even – there's one guy in college basketball right now, right? There's one guy, he plays for Duke, and I'm not even sure of his name.
I care about a few college basketball teams, and that's only because I went to Akron, and they have a good basketball program, and I'm friends with a couple of coaches. That's it. And hell, the one coach we're friends with won't even send us gear right now, so I'm pretty upset about that. Be honest with you. So there's only a few teams that you really pay attention to. But there was a timeline. I mean, when you and I were kids, like, yeah, it was a big deal. The tournament was a big deal. The regular season was a big deal. It's kind of not that way anymore. And I used to think, when this whole thing first started, I used to think, man, like in Indiana, it's different. In Kentucky, it's different. I still think it's a little bit different in most of these places. But I think when it comes down to the general interest, Dan ain't lying. Like, it's like, well, we got to talk Colts in Indianapolis, Indiana. We got to talk some Pacers in Indianapolis, Indiana. Indiana, it's like Mike Woodson's on his way out. When are we going to get our act together? It's a afterthought for a lot of folks. And I think college basketball is that same way. I think that rings culture has a little bit to do with it because we only care about the time you can win a tournament. It seems to be a fluky thing. Teams struggle in the month of December, the month of January. There's always the joke about you see the TikToks and the Instagram videos of the 16 seed guy who won 10 games that year, but his team got hot during the tournament. You see that stuff all the time. And I think it's because it's such a crapshoot. It's like, well, we'll find out in March. And March is great. But what college basketball really needs is for us to be really interested in December, January, February. That's what it needs. And that's what it used to have. I mean, you had the million-dollar game or the billion-dollar game before. You had a time where, yeah, there was a lot of passion. These guys were big-time stars. And you start having a conversation we've been having now for 20 years with one-and-dones and things like that. I don't even think it's just that. Because, like, when we were having our Major League Baseball conversation earlier, like, yeah, man, your team has to have a chance to win a championship or people ain't going to care. Or they should at least be under the belief that if they run things the right way, they can really win a championship. Because I remember, and we're still playing Jeff's diatribe from a few weeks ago, plenty of people vehemently disagree with Jeff. This team's been very close before. And there's plenty of people go, we're not the Yankees, we're not the Mets, we're not the Dodgers, we don't have that money, we're not going to do it because of that. You can't have that in your sport, and you can't have that in college basketball where it's like, I'll see you in March. You can't do that. And Owen's, I think, speaking for a lot of people.
It's amazing, too. We know Final Four, or I should say the NCAA tournament, March Madness, still draws. I think they are risking everything, expanding the tournament more. It's going to throw brackets off. It's going to make people just not care. I really am worried about that.
I agree with you.
But I'm looking at TV ratings when we were younger, okay, the mid to late 90s.
Okay? Are these regular season games?
No, this is the men's tournament. Championship game.
Okay. Oh.
Would get 35 million. Do you know what the last three have gotten, last three championships.
20.
And you've had some blue bloods in there. You've had UNC, you've had Duke, you've had UConn. $15 million.
Whoa.
I mean, this is not the same sport. The interest is just nowhere near the same when it comes to college basketball.
Well, and I think it is going through a transition, but I think every sport's going through a transition. I think the game of basketball in general, the NBA, as well, is going through a transition. Like, why is it that Steph Curry and LeBron's game is the one that has the biggest rating? Because it's the biggest names that we've known for a long period of time. We're not making stars in that sport anymore. Coach K, star, brand name. Christian Laettner, years ago, stayed long enough to become a star, a brand name. Rick Pitino, okay, Rick Pitino's at St. John's, and that's a good story. And I have seen a couple of St. John's games this year, but that's, I don't think that's going to get you 30 million people like Rick Pitino at Kentucky back in the day. You know, Calipari, I think they just look at him as like a sad whatever it is at Arkansas and just taking a paycheck right now. So I don't think, I mean, I can keep giving you examples, but I think that that star power, you still have that in football. I think we're looking for someone to pass in the NBA.
You had it in women's basketball.
And you did have
the
it in women's basketball,
tournament
yes.
outdrew, and the women's Final Four, and the women's championship outdrew the men last
year. We've had these arguments before, and I'm going to tell you right now.
And
like,
how much women's college basketball have we even thought about?
You're talking this year?
I've watched some since this year.
Okay.
There's been a little Juju Watkins. Yes. Ohio State's been on.
And I've watched UConn, but not last year. Not even close.
And honestly, but it's the same problem they have for men's college basketball. Michigan State. Why do I watch Michigan State if Michigan State's on? Robin Fralick. She used to be an assistant coach at Ashland back in the day. So that's like the only reason. So that I still think that to a degree they have that problem, but I also think the NBA has a problem where, hey, honestly, who's one of the bigger names? Like, is Caitlin Clark a bigger name than most of the names in the NBA right now that aren't Hall of Famers already? LeBron, Steph, those guys. I mean, of the young guys, like Anthony Edwards, how many more people can pick out Caitlin Clark than Anthony Edwards? And Dan Doggett said it himself, he keeps getting thrown out of games, so you're not letting yourself be a star. And I don't want to hear the Minnesota thing. LeBron James was certainly a star in Cleveland, Ohio, and there's been plenty of other places where guys have been stars. You know what I said about offensive linemen? And now I'm just an offensive lineman guy, and I become friendly with him over time. Jason Pinkston's listening. Of course, he's a guest on the station every week.
He's not only listening, Ken. He's using the coming in hotline.
There you go.
Hold on. He tweeted at me like 10 minutes ago. He used the coming in hotline.
Yeah, he's on the coming in hotline.
He said, we love you, buddy, on Twitter. Do we already do the Twitter reactions?
No.
They're brought to you by Shavin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Now, this is on the coming in hotline. This is Jason.
Yes, this is from the Odyssey app.
All right, hit it.
Ken, this is your guy, Jason Pinkston, calling from Pittsburgh. Is there an offensive lineman that the Browns can pick early at that number two spot that would be worthy of that pick? Tell me your thoughts.
At number two, I don't believe so. I think that you could trade down with somebody in the top 10. God, I sound like Daryl. You could trade down with somebody in the top 10 if you wanted an offensive lineman and get Kelvin Banks. Will Campbell is a guy that I've talked about so many times. I love his personality. I think you plug that guy in on your offensive line and you set sail for the next decade. I think he's the exact you want culture. I think he's the type of culture guy.
I've heard nothing but good things about that guy.
Nothing but good things about that guy and his personality. Down there at LSU, I really like.
Yeah,
that kid.
They're worried about his arm length. Like they were a little worried about Joe Thomas's, didn't they? But then this is even smaller.
You sure?
I thought that was just one of those minor concerns. Obviously,
well, I remember Bill Callahan had said, like, there has to be a length of arms. And if you don't have that length of arms, you better be making it up in this category and that category, or you're an undraftable prospect for them. I'm glad that Jason asked that question.
Says the conventional minimum, according to Jeff Legwold of ESPN.com, and this is nitty-gritty offensive line prospect.
This is a leg guy talking about arms?
I don't mean to tell you how to do your job, but I mean, if we're getting into the nits and grits
we're
talking about offensive linemen, for crying out loud.
The conventional minimum tackles is 34 inches. Yeah. Campbell comes in at 33 7/8.
We can't just keep talking about it. We got to do it.
Nitty gritty football.
It's time for nitty gritty football.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
That's a whole 8.
Flip right double. We need to put the John Gruden one in there. Boy, they do say it's a game of inches, though, don't they? So if he's at 33 and an eighth, you said, well, I'm like, oh, can an inch and a half make a difference? Well,
is lineman arm length the new quarterback hand size?
Has it always been?
I think it
we
always,
just decided
yeah,
to start paying attention to linemen.
Probably should have been more important than quarterback hand size.
Yep. Yep.
Wait a second. Joe Thomas's was 33.8, and now he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, he's got I can't believe it. He's got long-ass arms.
So gritty.
There's only been like a couple of linemen I thought that had like short arms that when I saw them. Joe was not one of them. Neither was Jason, for that matter. I'm not sure how long Jason's arms were.
Can you tell me Jedrick Wills' arm size? And does that differ whether he's in a sweatshirt or just bare arm?
34 and a third. I'm guessing. Where are we at on Jedrick Wills? In long sleeves, he's 35.
It's funny that this is something I'd never heard referenced before until recently.
Oh, now you do.
34 and a quarter.
Oh, man. I was there.
Give me more grit.
No, my lineman, man.
Someone had...
No, my lineman.
Someone had Will Campbell even smaller, 32 and 5
inches. Oh, no. But he can make up for it, right?
One of those.
Yeah, that was Daniel Jeremiah had him at 32 and 5 eighths.
Daniel Jeremiah, he's size queen. Relax.
Incredible shrinking
Relax.
Will Campbell.
That's a little too gritty.
What are we going to do now?
We have some news. Wait, did Jeff share it during the update? Did he shave it during the update?
I don't know what he shaved during the update.
Did he share it during the update?
Is he Baker Mayfield during the Denver game?
I went to the restroom. Did he mention Deshaun Watson during the update?
I thought we had an edict from our boss. We were not allowed to mention his name again.
Yeah. Well, don't say it two more times.
Or he shows up in here.
Yeah.
Showed him here. I go, what the hell are you doing in here? I thought you were supposed to be down in Miami or somewhere. Browns have restructured the contract to Deshaun Watson, creating nearly $36 million in 2025 cap space. Cap is real as a Loch Ness monster, everybody. If you still believe in it, that's on you. Lima's silence tells me to move on, and that's what I'm going to do. Just leaves it out there like a fart.
They had to.
Thank you.
They had to because they couldn't operate as a football team this year.
Yeah, but now you know we have space for Joey Bosa and DK Metcalf, so you know that's how that's going to work.
Wow.
Mary Kay Cabot, 9 o'clock. No, hold on.
Bring him in.
I'm going to tell you when to actually turn it back on.
Okay, fine.
Because this ain't worth it. Joel Batonio's back for year 12. Now you can do it.
Well, I had to reset it here.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, Joel's back, everybody. And this is not out of sarcasm. I'm glad Joel's back. We need some people we trust. Because I don't know how this year is going to go right now. That's why Joe Flacco's getting mentioned out there, folks. That's where we're at. Mary Kay Cabot, she's going to join us at 9. I wanted to say this yesterday, and I didn't have the guts to say it. I'm going to say it right now. Real Xavier P said I might be disingenuous here. I'm not. I do not feel better about the situation if the Browns trade back. If they trade back and they get Will Howard or Jackson Dart, that's a different conversation. Like all the way back and then trade back into the first round. If they get one of them guys, I'll feel better about them guys.
What about Shuck?
Or Tyler Shuck.
Shuck.
If they take Tyler Shuck, I guess the same thing, right? If they trade back and bring in Shador Sanders, I ain't going to feel good. Not going to feel good. I'd feel much better if they ran up to the podium. If Andrew Berry himself, like Scooby-Doo in his coattails, are swinging in the breeze and he runs up to the podium and hands in the card for Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, I'd feel much better about the situation. I go, you know what? You made that decision with a full heart to bring that player in. If we keep nagging and nagging and nagging about how bad this class is with quarterbacks. Now, neither of these guys would be in the top five in any other draft. And next year, you're bringing up the Bo Nix trade scenario and the Bo Nix test, right? If you trade back, that means you're like, and then you're like, well, you just taking a quarterback. Is that it? Can you tell me? Because if you felt that he was really going to switch your franchise around, if you 100% believed that he was going to turn your franchise around, wouldn't you just take him number two? And that what you do?
Yeah.
Would you take
a
QB?
But Kenny, just like you asked me weeks ago when you got mad when I said, I only had a 6 out of 10 on whether or not I was sure Shedeur Sanders was really good. And I thought he was good, but I wasn't sure of it. Couldn't that be the case with the Browns? Might they like him, but they're not sure? So what, should they take him off the draft board completely? Should they never draft him if he kept slipping? Like, that's the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. We keep coming back to that example. They weren't sure about Lamar Jackson.
But they had a situation that they were already comfortable with. Like, Joe Flacco would have been fine, I think, for, at that time, now I know things changed during that season, would have been fine for John Harbaugh. They traded back in. And I know that they could have done it, but they weren't. We didn't think of them as, like, in the market for a quarterback. There were plenty of teams that passed up on him. But nobody was looking. People didn't have Lamar Jackson number two because it wasn't a great draft class. So if you're telling me it's not a great draft class and we just keep moving back and we find ourselves in Brian Hoyer land, I ain't going to feel any better. I'm going to feel a little bit worse. I like Shedeur Sanders. I like him for
his
personality.
You're just going to be mad because it makes it seem like they're not as all in on him.
Yeah.
That they don't love
because
him.
Because I don't want to be left dealing with this, Ken, if he ends up sucking up the room.
In the
any
end,
of them.
What does it matter if he turns out to be good? Who cares?
It doesn't matter if
he turns
out to be good.
Who cares if they didn't love him as much as you thought they loved him?
I want them to have confidence because this is where I will use their history against them. The organization's history, even though some of these guys weren't even here. You kept going back, and then you finally took Johnny Manziel. You kept going back, and you finally took other quarterbacks in this league. I mean, for the love of God, I want you, if you're going to take a guy, hang it over the fence and make that move and go get him. Show the whole neighborhood what you got and go do it. Instead of trading back, and then, okay, well, I guess we can take him here. Well, it doesn't matter if he's two or number 22 overall or number 32 overall. He's a first-round quarterback. So we're still going to put the weight of the world on his shoulders.
It's interesting you talk about that because we associate expectations with the number two pick. They're a little different from when somebody is down further. You're saying that's not the case just because the Browns need a quarterback?
Yes, I think it's in the first round. And by the way, with Lamar Jackson, nobody ever said, well, you know, they traded back into the first round when they were talking about his contract and whether or not he could beat teams in the playoffs. Nobody ever said that. It was the weight of everything on that franchise for him to be the franchise quarterback. That is what they have to deal with. And that is what I will have to deal with because it will be in the back of my mind and I'll have to come in here. People might be celebrating that they traded on and here comes Andrew Berry and laser eyes again. Yeah, you can do that.
Well, because they can then build around the quarterback more because they have more draft
picks. That's what
they'll
say, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be the one that might be the stick in the mud because I don't think I'm going to start at 6 o'clock saying it, but it will be in the back of my mind and you'll probably have to pull it out of me and go, Ken, what'd you tell me back on March 6th? And I'm going to go, yeah, I'm a little bit worried. Because I want them to go after a quarterback because they love the guy. Because we know more than anybody, but it's the difference between winning and losing.
You don't seem to be worried about all these second-round grades on Shedeur Sanders. That should worry you more, no?
I am not worried about Mary Kay Cabot joining us next to talk about that at 9:02 on The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.